Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 4. Well, good evening and welcome. On behalf of the 2016 graduating class of Eastern Mennonite Seminary, along with the seminary faculty and staff, I am pleased to welcome you to this time and to this space. We gather tonight to celebrate and to worship. We celebrate completions. We celebrate transitions, and we celebrate new beginnings. We celebrate the gifts of learning, of wisdom and discernment, of maturity and transformation. We acknowledge that all of these gifts are gifts from God. So that's why we came here tonight to worship. We are giving him our thanks and our praise through song, through word, and through prayer. So it is in that spirit that I ask you to come with me and to repeat or to read along with me our call to worship, which will be projected here on the wall. I'll read the plain text, and I invite you to read the bold text. Future generations will be told about the Lord. Proclaim deliverance to the people, sharing what God has done.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Though our needs are many, it is you, Lord, who provides. You impart in us wisdom and maturity to interpret and practice your will. You entrust with us discernment and renew us to communicate and lead your church.
We are made to lie down in green pastures and made beside still waters.
By Christ's example, we are led to follow in ways that build up God's people, loving the Lord with heart, mind, and body.
The one who creates, restores life, and leads in paths of righteousness. Our greatest assurance is the Savior's presence and love, because this is who God is.
Pursuing peace, we give life to the good news of Jesus Christ, embodying the gifts and fruit of the Spirit. Caring for the earth and for our neighbor, we take part in God's healing mission in the world.
Even though I may walk through the darkest valleys, I fear no evil, for the Holy Spirit is with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me.
Living in joyful, courageous obedience to Christ, we show honest awareness of our own strengths and vulnerabilities. Living by guiding principles that we openly name, we humbly testify to the awareness of God's call.
You prepare a table before me in the midst of adversity. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Responding to God's grace, we own our human responsibility to be faithful, eagerly sharing God's story in depth and width and breadth, listening to diverse voices to more fully understand the Word of God. We honor others in inviting questions as well as seeking answers.
Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Exemplifying holy living and Spirit-led compassion in community, we strive in equipping others to grow in their capacity for leadership and service. In thought, word, and deed, we serve the church and broader society with wisdom, passion, and integrity until we once again reunite with God in everlasting peace. Amen.
If you'll turn in the blue worship book to number 521, 521 in the blue worship book, Come Thou Fount. And please stand.
Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise.
if you'll turn in the green book to number 14, 14 in green, sing the journey. Lord Jesus, you shall be my song. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2 in English. And Matt is going to give us an introduction to it. So if you're unfamiliar with it, hopefully that will catch you up a little bit. So. You may be seated.
Our first scripture reading will be from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 5 through 9. We'll be reading one verse at a time. Joni will read a verse in Korean, and then I will read the same verse in English.
요한복음 15장 5절에서 9절 말씀 읽겠습니다. 나는 포도나무요, 너희는 가지이다. 사람이 내 안에 머물러 있고 내가 그 안에 머물러 있으면 그는 많은 열매를 맺는다. 너희는 나를 떠나서는 아무것도 할 수 없다.
I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who live in me and I in them will bear abundant fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
사람이 내 안에 머물며 있지 아니하면 그는 쓸모없는 가지처럼 바람을 받아서 말라버린다. 사람들이 그것을 모아다가 불에 던져서 태워버린다.
Those who don't live in me are like withered, rejected branches to be picked up and thrown on the fire and burned.
너희가 내 안에 머물러 있고 내 말이 너희 안에 머물러 있으면 너희는 무엇이든지 구하라. 다 그대로 이루어질 것이다.
If you live on in me and my words live on in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you.
아버지께서 나를 사랑하신 것 같이 나도 너희를 사랑하였다. 너희는 내 사랑 안에 머물러 있어라.
My Abba will be glorified if you bear much fruit and thus prove to be my disciples.
아버지께서 나를 사랑하신 것과 같이 나도 너희를 사랑하였다. 너희는 내 사랑 안에 머물러 있어라.
As my Abba hath loved me, so have I loved you. Live on in my love. Amen.
Amen. John 21, 15 to 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter,
Simon, Son of John, do you love me?
He said to him,
Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.
Jesus said to him,
Feed my lambs.
A second time, he said to him,
Simon, son of John, do you love me?
He said to him,
Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.
Jesus said to him,
Tend my sheep.
And he said to him a third time,
Simon, son of John, do you love me?
Well, Peter felt hurt because Jesus had said this to him a third time, Do you love me? And he said to him,
Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.
Jesus said to him,
Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your belt and go wherever you wished to go. But when you were older, others will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt on you and take you where you don't want to go.
He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him,
Follow me.
Our speaker tonight is Linda Alley, and I am honored to be introducing you. Linda is the director of the Congregational Resource Center and an administrative assistant for seminary events, and she is the director of the Summer Institute for Spiritual Formation. She is a 2008 graduate from EMS with the Master's in Church Leadership and Practicing the Art of Spiritual Direction. She was ordained with the Church of the Brethren in 2010. Linda is retiring after 27 years at EMS to live more fully into her calling of spiritual director, retreat leader, and inspirational writer. She and her husband have 3 married children and 6 grandchildren, and her current interests include flower gardening, Celtic Christian prayers and songs, and afternoon teas. Our graduating class overwhelmingly desired Linda's wisdom tonight, as she has been a mentor, spiritual director, and guide for so many of us. Linda is particularly gifted at leading one to sit at the feet of Jesus. Whether we are celebrating life, grieving past injury, or anxiously seeking answers, Linda's work as a spiritual director has brought us all closer to God. She not only listened to us, but she listened to God's voice speaking into our lives, bringing healing and direction. Please join me in prayer. Holy Spirit, we seek your inspiration on our hearts tonight. Help us to become keenly aware of your presence. As you guide Linda's words, guide our listening ears. Illuminate us with your love and teach us how to further your kingdom here on earth. We thank you for your guiding presence. We thank you for caring enough to be here with us. And we ask this for Christ's sake. Amen.
God's blessing to you on this very special day. Or maybe it's an ordinary day, depending on your perspective. What things are part of this day? Well, EMS graduates are celebrating the beginning of commencement weekend. Their family, friends, teachers, and supporters are breathing a sigh of relief that they have made it this far. This is also the anniversary of a day 65 years ago when my mother gave birth to me. Some of the graduates among us are having bittersweet emotions as they realize that they're transitioning from seminary students to seminary alums. I'm experiencing some grief as I realize that this is my last baccalaureate as an EMS employee before I retire. You may have noticed that there's a major political convention going on in Harrisonburg this weekend, bringing about 11,000 people to us. That is an interesting time to be here. Some psychologists and massage therapists across the country are noticing that their clients are increasing because they are in really anxious and tense about this election cycle. This morning, hundreds of thousands of refugees across our world woke up to another day in a camp, or perhaps to the possibility that they would die as they tried to cross a border somewhere. This day has contained drought and floods, wars and rumors of wars. And it's also contained very mundane things, like going to work and making lunch and driving to an appointment. At our house, we are awaiting the birth of our 7th grandchild, who is one day overdue. What a day. Is this a special day or an ordinary day? Is it not true that every day there is something new laboring toward birth and something else that is leaving, being left behind, being released, or transitioning in some way? In tenuous times like these, what is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ for us? The good news is that we are not homeless. We have a dwelling place. And we are not jobless. We have a call. Inside of your bulletin, right inside the front cover, are the two scriptures that were chosen and read for us by our students. Based on their choice of scriptures and their choice of theme for tonight, I believe that they paid close attention when they were in their seminary spiritual formation classes. Let's take a closer look at these scriptures. The John 15 passage uses gardening images, and it encourages us to be. It tells us how to abide in the vine. The John 21 passage uses shepherding images, and it encourages us to do, to feed, and to tend. The two actions, being and doing, depend on each other and are complementary. The more we abide in God's presence, the more God's love fills us, and naturally it overflows to the world as we share what we have learned. And as we are sharing and doing, we naturally return and feel the need to return to the place of our abiding so that we can be refreshed and have our strength renewed. Contemplation and action, doing and being, are all together giving us life, and they're working together. The first passage, the John 15 passage, is part of Jesus' final discourse, his final message to his disciples at the Last Supper. And the second one takes place after Holy Week, after all of that upheaval has happened for the disciples. And these are like two bookend scriptures for a transforming event. In the first scene, in John 15, we are invited to abide in Jesus' love. Professor Dorothy Jean helped me get started on the Greek word studies for this sermon, and one of them was the word abide. This word has the sense of remain, or stay in one place. It also has the rich sense of dwell, or take up residence, be at home. Continue, endure, make it permanent. It's much more than come on over to my house and hang out for a while. It's more like bring all your accumulated stuff and move in. God is not a destination. God is home. Richard Rohr says that consciously, lovingly and trustfully remaining in the vine, which is to be connected to our source, is precisely our access point to deeper spiritual wisdom. While I was exploring the grapevine images, I learned that the best grapes are produced closest to the main vine where the nutrients are most concentrated. That is where we need to dwell. And that is why we have to be pruned back, even if we are some of the vines producing fruit. The unfruitful vines must be cut off and used for kindling, but the fruitful vines also must be pruned and cleaned. All those little shoots going off in all directions that distract us and keep us from our focus must be lovingly and carefully trimmed away. And so then the shorter vine is closer to the main vine, which is where we should be. And as a result, we can concentrate and focus on producing fruit. We are to abide, to dwell, to make a home in God's love. The cut-off branch that Jesus mentions is a person who only sees from the small position of me and what is my need. As do many of the passages in Scripture, this one challenges our idea of the sovereign individual. We're not to be inward-turning and self-contained, but we are to be part of the larger whole for the greater good of all. The vine and the branches are one, all from the same root. They are one. The temptation to go it on our own and make a name for ourselves is very great. Our society rewards the lone hero. However, any minister, any leader who primarily depends on her own ego, gifts, and her own resources will find that the sap soon runs out if we are not close to the vine. It is simply untrue that we can be effective all on our own. We cannot. There's a vintage story that illustrates this idea. A member of a congregation decided to stop attending church. And in due time, his pastor paid him a call. It was a cold day, and so after they had greeted each other, the two of them went in and sat by the fire. They sat for some minutes in silence, the member expecting that at any moment the pastor would start asking him about his failures. Instead, the pastor got up and, without saying a word, took the fireplace tongs, took a coal from the fire, and laid it on the stone hearth. Then he sat down. Again, long moments of silence. Gradually, the coal stopped burning and became just gray, simply gray. At that point, the pastor got up again, took the tongs, and put the coal back in the blazing fire. It soon ignited and started burning again. The pastor got up, said good day to his parishioner, and went on his way. The parishioner got the point. We need to dwell. We need to abide. We need to make a home where the life-giving energy is, with God and with his people, if we are to be useful. We are blessed to have a dwelling place. What about our call? Many decades ago, when I was an undergraduate student here at EMU, there was a chapel speaker I heard, and I've never forgotten the words. He said, "If you are a Christian, then you have a parish, a congregation, that you are called to tend. You are a minister." Each of us has a parish. Each of us has a congregation. Now, some among us here are set apart, specially called, formally trained, ordained to serve a specific group of people. But I would guess that most of us are not. And so I wonder, who is in your parish? Who's in your congregation? It might start with the people in your household, your neighbors, your friends, extended family. It might even include your coworkers, students, teachers, or even an occasional visitor like the checkout clerk at the store. The John 21 passage gives us a special call and some ideas about what the job description for our ministry looks like. The passage begins after breakfast, but I'd like to back up a little bit and give us some context to get up to that point. The disciples have just had a week of emotional overload, and they are seeking some comfort in the familiar activity of fishing. You can almost hear Peter saying, "I just spent 3 years studying with that man. I expected to have a secure position in the kingdom by now. But it's just not happening. It's not turning out like that at all. Instead, I'm afraid for my life, and everything is in chaos. I think I'll go back to where it started and try to make some sense of it." And so he and some of the other disciples go fishing. What happens next is almost a mirror image of what happened the first time Jesus called Peter and some of the disciples. Both times, Jesus is on the seashore. Both times, the disciples have fished all night and caught nothing. Both times, Jesus says to them to put the net down again. And when they do, there's an overwhelming amount of fish, more than they can handle. It's really kind of amusing that in the gospel stories, at least, even though these are professional fishermen, they never catch any fish unless Jesus helps them. What does that say to those of us who are to fish for people? This time, when the miracle of the fish occurs, the disciples, beginning with John, recognize who's on the shore. Their eyes are opened. In the dark night of their confusion and their disappointment and their failure, Jesus has come to them. You might expect that they would rush into the shore and celebrate. But instead, when Jesus invites them to come and eat the fish and the bread cooking on the fire, they are strangely silent. Verse 12 says, "None of the disciples dared to ask him, 'Who are you?' because they knew it was the Lord." What are they to say when they have doubted, denied, and failed? And what is Jesus going to say to them? As Jesus shared the bread and the fish, I wonder if they remembered the miracle of the loaves and fishes that had happened not too far from that same seashore. On that occasion, when they came to Jesus and said that people are hungry, what did Jesus say to them? "You give them something to eat. You feed them." They had nothing to do that with. And so Jesus had provided the miracle, the abundance, more than enough. And here they are again. Their generous host did not say a word of accusation, but instead invited them once again, broken as they were, to come and to be part of him, to feed and to follow. None of us escapes being broken in this life, but God still sustains us and calls us to do God's work. After breakfast, Jesus speaks especially to Peter, but I think all of us can pay attention to his words of instruction. He asks Peter this series of curious questions about love, which have many, many interpretations. Three times, in slightly different variations, Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" I wonder if Jesus is reminding Peter of his words in our first scripture passage. There Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." Perhaps the question really was, "Are you still abiding in my love? Do you want to do that? Are you willing to do that?" The point was to reassure Peter that if he did abide in Jesus' love, he would have all that he needed to feed and to follow. He would have it all, and he too would feed others. As I read and meditated on this passage, the word that jumped out to me was my. Jesus says, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Let's not be confused. You and I are not the shepherds. We are not. We are the under shepherds. The sheep in our parishes are not to look to us, but to the good shepherd. Our job description is to tend and feed and point out the way that will most closely follow the one to whom they belong. And we are to also teach them to recognize the voice of God so that when they hear that voice again and again, it will be familiar. And when they hear the voice of Jesus, they will be able to follow the one that they trust, that voice that has been there before. That is our task. Just as the branches abide in the vine, so we, as under-shepherds, have a relationship to the shepherd and abide in him. And together, we are to produce the best grapes and the healthiest flock. It only happens when we abide in the love of God. In the early centuries, in Christian art, Christians tended to picture the Eucharist with the bread and the fish instead of the bread and the wine. The Last Supper was not Jesus' last meal with his disciples. The risen Christ continues to feed us. The risen Christ continues to feed us. The risen Christ shares with us, supplying all that we need, all the nurture that we need, and an abundant amount of food for all that we serve. Whether we feel worthy or not, Christ continues to invite us to follow. In his words before and after Holy Week, Jesus reminds us of this, that only in our ongoing connection to the vine and in the table can we tap into that miraculous abundance of God. When we do that, we are continually fed, and we can continually feed others. So for this day, this special and ordinary and tenuous day, the good news of the gospel is this: we have a dwelling place for all generations, a home in God's love. We have a call to care for our parish. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Linda, for blessing us with these words to contemplate. Before we go and do, however, let's pause for a moment. Let's stay and be. I invite you to a moment of silence and contemplation and being.
As a visual reminder that our students are sent forth from this place with our blessing, we would like to invite all of those who are graduating to come to the front for an anointing and prayer time. Pastor Kevin Clark and I will anoint you and pray briefly for you individually, and the congregation at the same time will be singing the hymn of response, number 395 in the Blue Book, "Here I Am, Lord." After all of you graduates have come, I will share a blessing prayer to begin. Please come. Patty Shelley has written a little prayer blessing that has become a song. You may know the tune, but I'd like to just read the words as a blessing for all of us. The Lord lift you up. The Lord take your hand. The Lord lead you forth and help you to stand secure in God's word, seeking God's face, abounding in love, abiding in grace. Amen.
On behalf of the class of 2016, I am honored to present to you our class gift. In room 212, we are furnishing everything for a nursery to be used. And I hope it enriches the community as much as this community has blessed and enriched us.
May you go and be creators as your Creator made you. And all that you preach, teach, write, draw, sing, and do, may your Creator's glory shine within and outside of you. And may God's grace, Christ's love, and the Holy Spirit's wisdom go before you to create the way for you.